y'all.
Hi.
And welcome to The Joe Project.
The Joe Project seeks to discover the intersectionality between mental health and the gospel. We want to debunk myths and stop over-spiritualizing mental health. Period. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Listen, we are now on Instagram, and by now, I mean, we were always on Instagram. We are at The Job Project Podcast. That's a name change, at The Job Project Podcast. Go ahead and follow us there. You'll find out more information on other episodes this season, and some community stuff is coming up, I promise.
And also, if you like what we're doing and want to leave us a review, please feel free. I think Apple Podcasts is the only one. Shout out to iPhone users.
All right.
You can leave a review. You can give us 5-star rating. Because if you do so, our podcast is able to reach more people, which is the goal. We want people to know that mental health is okay, that it doesn't need to be stigmatized, nor does it need to be over-spiritualized. So again, leave a review. Leave 5 stars. Leave 6 stars if you can. And we would greatly, greatly appreciate that support.
Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode.
Woo!
And ladies and gentlemen, you just heard, first of all, it was a freestyle poem. That was not written.
Wow.
That was a freestyle poem by our guest today, Jasmine Sims. Jasmine, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I have no complaints. Okay. I am full of gratitude.
Great.
Feeling good.
Love that.
So Jasmine Sims, the Jasmine Sims, if you follow her on Instagram, which you should, she is an amazing poet, writer. In my head, she's an educator, you know, because she's just out here educating the folk on lots of stuff, which we're going to talk about today. But I actually wanted to ask you, instead of like reading your bio, which I'll put in the show notes, I wanted to ask you, who are you? Yeah, I'm going to leave it up to you. I know you hate bios because that's her bio.
I feel like bios are oftentimes irrelevant to the moment. Like, I don't care what you've done. Like, what can you do right now in, you know, in these minutes?
Okay.
Who am I?
Yeah.
I am, a poet, a storyteller. I am an advocate for women, for young women specifically. I am an auntie of 5.
Wow. All right, auntie. Yeah.
I love telling stories. I love having fun. I love telling people that they are valuable and that they should be loved. Other than that, I'm regular, you know?
We out here for the regular folk.
I guess. I'm just kidding.
Second question, most important question of the day. How are you feeling?
Good question.
You know, oftentimes I feel a lot of things at once. So I think that I am on one end of the spectrum. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling hopeful. Mm. On another end, overwhelmed, in a good and bad sense. Mm-hmm. I'm always grieving. I'm always really angry at stuff that's going on.
Girl.
So, you know, I'm feeling everything. I'm feeling everything. But there is joy there. And that's enough for me.
I feel like that's the conundrum of being a believer. It's like, you know what? God is good and he's going to handle it. We can trust in his plan and in the Holy Spirit. But also, Lord, what? What?
Basically.
What?
Exactly. Basically. Well, because you didn't toot your own horn, I'm going to toot it for you for a little bit. Because not only is Jasmine Sims a poet and a writer, one, she is currently performing in the Poets in Autumn Tour, PIA Tour, along with a bunch of other amazing poets and storytellers. So you'll find that information in our show notes as well as on her page. You can follow her at The Jasmine. Wait, let me get this right. The Jasmine Sims.
Yes.
I was right. Look at that. At The Jasmine Sims on Instagram and other places, as well as the fact that she has so many things happening, right? One, she got a book called Done Being Strong. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We have, at the time of our recording, you just did a live EP recording. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes, it is. I did my research. You got a live EP recording, but she also got poems on Spotify. Do you like listening to poems? You should. Go listen to her on Spotify as well, Jasmine Sims. I'm really excited that you're here, and I just wanted to toot your horn for a little bit. All right. Okay, so let's jump in. I've known you for a while, but one thing that I loved, especially in the last last few years is, and actually turned into the title of your poetry book. It was this idea of done being strong. And I wanted to ask you what inspired that title or what inspired the collection as a whole?
Mm-hmm. Done being strong, man. I think before I turned 30, I had put a post on Instagram and it was like, in my 20s, I was a soldier. In my 30s, I'm gonna be soft. And I think the inspiration for that, listen, one, growing up in a Black household, I think that for majority of us, Americanized Black cultured folk, there is this mentality, which I think is good and beautiful, that we do have to be strong, that we do have to learn how to navigate more than your average American. On second hand, I grew up in a church family. I'm a PK kid. And so I think that that comes with a whole lot of other stuff in this concept of sharing your parents, of being a ministry kid, of being called to leadership positions at an early age when you're not even fully mature yet. And so for me, and being a Black woman, is a whole nother layer of strength. And so growing up with that mindset and mentality of, you know, like, I got it. Are you good? Yeah. And if I'm not, I'm gonna be, was just like this mentality that I was raised with. And in 2017, my dad passed away, and that forced me into a place of vulnerability that I wasn't choosing. I wasn't like, I was at that point in my life where I'm like, I ain't perfect, but I'm content. You know, right. Like, I'm good. You got flaws. I know. And me and my flaws, we're going to hang out. We ain't got to address everything. That was my mindset.
Yeah.
And grief kind of just forced me into this place of like, Jasmine, I don't know who you think you are, but you not this soldier strong person, and you were never supposed to be, and you actually don't have to be. And so that kind of led me into this concept of like, yeah, you know what? I'm done being strong. Like, if somebody offers me help and I need it, why wouldn't I accept it? Mm. Like why? And so that's what kind of led me through this. And then we had a woman speak at the church I was going to in Chicago, and we kind of talked a little bit about, there's this book called Black Women and the Burden of Strength.
Wow.
And she just talks through so many things. And I'm like, the whole book, I'm like, just write my name in the title. Why don't you? Because it's like, I'm not married. I don't have children, but I still relate to this concept of carrying burdens and needing to always be available and be all things to all people. And I'm like, no, like now I take the mindset of, if you have community and people who claim to love you, you shouldn't have to be strong. What's the, like, if I'm supposed to bear your burdens and you're supposed to bear mine, there has to be some room for weakness and vulnerability in the community.
Yeah, I love that.
You want me to? Okay. No,
I don't know. That was mic drop.
Go
ahead.
No, because you just answered like 4 or 5 questions on here. That's fine. We actually just were working on an episode about community as well. And yo, as soon as you started posting the stuff about them being strong, I was like, yo, that's actually so valid, because I remember there's a scripture in James that talks about, I forgot my Bible verse. Pastor would be very disappointed. Basically, like, confessing your sins to one another, and confessing sins, that takes a level of vulnerability, right? But it really is talking about this community aspect. And I love that you brought in the idea of vulnerability and honesty into it, because, I mean, it's hard out here. You were saying something when you talked about especially being like Black Americans. Like, I think of the fact that we, as especially African Americans, because so like, we're Caribbean American, right? So we have another entry point into this conversation, mm-hmm. right? But just Black Americans in general, both historically and in recent history, there's not really an opportunity to, or it doesn't seem like there's an opportunity to grieve well, because there's always another thing happening. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With I remember 2016, that was the year that like so many people passed away, unfortunately, right? And it was like, well, we're grieving this one thing, but now this other thing is happening, and we're grieving this other thing, and this other thing is happening. So that pattern of always having to like not feeling the space to like deal with trauma is like, it's so real. So So, all right. So if somebody walked up to you and it was completely separate from the poetry collection, right? And they looked at you and they said, you got a t-shirt on that says done being strong. What does that mean? And you had to say it in like one sentence. What does that mean?
In one sentence, I would say done being strong means embracing your humanity and letting people love you. Mm.
Mic drop. This podcast is going to be short. Not because it's not good stuff, but because like, see, this is why I like talking to poets. yeah, I totally agree. So over here on the Joe Project, we always try and put Bible on it. And I was doing some research before we jumped in. I was thinking about this scripture in 2 Corinthians 12. It says, this is Paul?
I think it's Paul.
It's Paul.
I'm pretty sure it's Paul. Sounds like Paul.
He was talking about like this thorn in his side.
It's Paul.
He said, three different times, I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So that like flies into the face of all that we've been taught and have learned, especially as people of color, about like always having to be strong, because God is actually looking at us saying, you're being strong and you're not giving me a chance to be me. Isn't that wild?
Right. It's pride. It's idolatry. It's this idea that we ourselves can do everything, including manage our own trauma, mental, emotional turmoil. And that is very anti-biblical. We weren't meant to do it on our own. If we were, God would just have created one human being, and that one human being wouldn't have had any community, no wives, no brothers, no sisters.
Hello?
I think God uses community a lot. And I think he also, when Paul is mentioning, I think God allows us to experience hardships and vulnerabilities and weaknesses, because it does provide the opportunity to, what you're saying, stop being strong and allow people to love you, allow God to love you, and allow God to utilize the people around you to love you. Because in that, you actually find true strength. You find the strength that you were created to have versus the strength that was imposed upon you through culture, being a Black woman, being in America, being Caribbean, being fill in whatever blank taught you you needed to be strong and ignore your humanity, essentially. So,
facts.
Yeah.
Shout out to Paul.
So why do you think walking in weakness is so difficult? Because there's different ways you can answer it. Because I'm thinking, like you said, being a person of color in general, being a woman, being a Black woman, being a Christian, answer how you see fit. Why do you think it's so difficult to walk in weakness?
I think my first response would be self-protection. I think that, you know, like, who doesn't have a story of a time that they were vulnerable and they got hurt, you know? And it's like, and you feel embarrassed, you feel stupid, you know, and like all of those things. And so I think a lot of times it's just an attempt to preserve, self-preservation. Yeah. And it's like, tell them how you feel. No, why? I'm ashamed of how I feel. I'm upset that they had the ability to even cause me to feel this way. And it's going to make me look like I am weak, and I don't want to appear as weak, you know, like, don't let them see you sweat, cry about it in the bathroom. When you come out, you know, like you have it all together. So I think self-protection, I think there is an element of pride. Also, there's this element of wanting to make people, you know, look at you a certain way. You want to control how you are perceived. I know one of my biggest struggles in faith was I was that person who, like, I wanted to make God proud. And so I went about it in a terrible way by trying to show, like, look at me, God, you know, like, I'm handling my, you know, like, just ain't gonna see me cry. I'm doing this for you, Lord. And he's like, who are you fooling? Like, and so, yeah, like it's all of those things. And I think we equate weakness with inadequacy, you know? So if I'm overly vulnerable and authentic and everybody has access to my wounds, who am I to be a leader? Yeah. I think we equate leadership with somebody who like, they're not affected the same way that we are.
Right. They're like invincible, essentially.
Yes.
Invincible. Did I say that right?
You said it right.
It sounds weird coming out my mouth, but yes. Sorry. Continue.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Nah.
What do you think, Chris?
What do I think?
As a Black man.
So I'm going to come at it from the perspective of being a guy. I think that I think that it's the idea of being weak is, I feel like there's so many levels to it. I feel the patriarchal aspect of it. I feel like the abuse of power by just, you know, men in general, and wanting to hold on to that power, right? So that's one aspect of it. But then there's this idea of, like, as a Black man going through and living life in America where families of color and people of color are consistently being attacked and are searching for areas to be safe, like, I feel like there's so much teaching, both because of patriarchy, I guess, where it's like, oh, I'm supposed to be the protector, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're going into our relationship, like me and my wife, or even me and my family, my mom and my brothers and sisters, it's like, well, you know what? I have to be okay, because if I'm not okay, then the family falls apart, right? That goes back to that pride that both of y'all were mentioning. It's like, if I'm not okay, then, you know, no food gets on the table, or if I'm not okay, then this, that, or the other. I also think that there's kind of the I want to reiterate what you were saying, kind of like trying to keep up those appearances. Like, I think how on Sunday morning you go and greet somebody. I don't know if you ever experienced this, babe, but you go to say hi to somebody and be like, how you doing? Be like, I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, I can't complain. Be like, no, you actually can.
You could. And it's okay.
Like, that's always an option, and that's okay. You know, like, that's why I always appreciated, like, I went to a Jamaican church, so I always appreciated the older saints. You'd be like, Mother Angus, how you feeling? Well, my back hurt, and my foot them there, and I have gout, but God is good. I love that there was the complaint, mm-hmm. but then there was also the God is good, which, I'm sorry, I'm thinking back to the post that you made that we put at the beginning of the episode. There was just this line. Basically, she was just like, yo, if depression could talk, depression would still say holy, holy. And if anxiety could talk, anxiety would still be saying, ain't God good? Like, sorry, I'm getting caught up.
No, I love that too. No, that's why I was having a moment in there. I was like, yes.
But yeah, to take a step back, yeah, being weak is difficult, especially for a man, because we've been taught that we have to be strong. Like, mm-hmm. there is no space. There's, like, yes, outside looking in, for women, especially Black women, it's like, yeah, you got to be the strong Black woman, blah, 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 right? But there's also, you know, the woman aspect where, as a Black man with Black men, it's like, well, you do have the opportunity to be soft. There is mm-hmm. a space. It's somewhere. I don't know where it is, not a Black woman, right? But for men, it's like nowhere. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
What you not were even say. Amongst men.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because when I started posting it, well, one, like, I wasn't thinking about men. I'm not a man, you know, and I desperately try not to be that person, because social media has enough. But I was very shocked at the amount of men who were like, can this apply to men? Well, what about men? And I was like, I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like, of course, I have my own thoughts and opinions, but I never, like, if you would have told me men would resonate, that never crossed my mind. You know, but it definitely makes sense. So when men ask me, I'm always like, can I answer? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel adequate to say, yes, this applies to men. Cause then it's like, well, how? And it's like, well, I'm not a man. But I was just shocked at, cause I had this hoodie on. I was going through the airport, and the first it was a woman, and she was patting me down. She's like, I know that's right. Now I'm being strong. And her coworker behind, he was like, shoot, me too. Let me get that hoodie. And it was just really funny. Like, they're back and forth. She's like, you can't be strong. I'm trying to be a damsel in distress. And he was like, me too.
It was just hilarious. Love that.
I've been hoping to kind of like bring men into this conversation about what it looks like. Cause it was like, one, I felt honored that they even felt the need to express that to me. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Look at the men's out here. Come through.
I mean, we trying, honestly. We're tired too.
Right. I know y'all are.
Yeah.
Facts.
I think another thing that I was thinking of, you know, just to bring, you know, the psychology into it.
Yeah,
she's
a psychologist.
I'm a fake psychologist. So, yes, I love it. Give me all of the facts.
Yeah, from psychologist. YouTube. Yes, psychologist in training. It's like, if you've ever gone to therapy, once your therapist starts getting to the nitty gritty of what's going on, you realize that not only are you struggling in one area, but it's almost like that one area flips into another area, they flip into another area, and it's almost like the floodgates just pour out. And I'll be honest, therapy is really hard in that you're constantly aware of the emotional impact some of your past decision, past trauma has affected on you, past and current. Mm-hmm. And then while dealing with all of that, you're also trying to learn coping skills while also trying to deal with living in the world that is telling you the opposite or doesn't navigate it the same way. And it's just a lot to navigate. But I think that's why it's often hard to even get to the point of recognizing that you do have some weaknesses. Because mm-hmm. if I open up this door to this room, then now we're opening the opportunity to explore so many other areas that I didn't recognize were holding me hostage in this wanting to preserve my strength. So
it's a door to a room. The door ends up being a door to a whole nother house.
Exactly. That's even better. Another house with a whole bunch of rooms that have yet to be opened. And that's why a lot of people struggle with therapy. Like it's actually really hard. Like we tell people to go to therapy all the time because we want them to get the support that they need from licensed professionals who have the background to help you navigate these weaknesses and these struggles. But it is hard because now I'm constantly aware of them. And now I have to learn how to navigate, okay, I was this identity, I had this going on, and I did preserve myself in these ways. Now I'm being told I don't have to, but now this is uncharted territory that is very difficult to navigate in and of itself. So that's, yeah, I'm talking from experience. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so many problems.
You all up in my business. Because people don't understand that, where they're like, okay, well, softness. And I'm like, as a poet, of course, we present things in a whole beautiful, you know, manner, but they don't know what the poem looks like in real life. And that's why I made a post where I was like, let me clarify. I said, I'm only soft where I'm safe. Mm. Like, if I'm not safe, you're going to get the strong, angry Black girl because I'm not safe with you. Like, that's a prerequisite for me to be soft.
But you know what that means, though? That means that our communities need to facilitate those spaces where we can be safe, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes that community might be your immediate family, or it might be, it's just whoever that supportive community is for you, because just like you said, you cannot be vulnerable, you cannot be soft unless you're safe. Like I wouldn't go to the hospital and get surgery on something in my body if the room isn't clean, if the mm-hmm. room isn't sterile. You know what I mean? The problem can't be healed and the problem can't be fixed, or the therapy can't happen if the area isn't conducive for that kind of healing, which means say, man, y'all don't need me here. I'm leaving.
But no, but that points to what you were saying about men, right? And so I think in like all of my little random Instagram posts and conversations, one thing I've noticed is this concept of protection, right? And so I've always said like men and women, our core needs are the same. They may show up differently, but I'm like, how, as a woman desires physical protection, I think men desire emotional protection, where it's this standpoint, like the way he makes me feel when he come home at night and like I was disturbed during the day, right, is the way he should feel when I show up and he's had emotion or turmoil. Because it's like, we can't claim to want to know and love people without giving them the space to be their whole self. And my whole self is needy, can be clingy, can be all of these things. And I'm like, the man is the same way. He gets needy. He may not tell you, he may not post it, but it's yeah. like, we have to provide everybody the equal amount of safety to be soft. Mm.
So speaking of soft, what is softness? I mean, you kind of described being needy, being clingy, you know, in certain spaces, and being okay with that, because that resonated with me, because I always feel that way. And yeah. Chris tells me I'm not, but I feel like that.
You're fine.
Because I'm relearning. You're but okay. Yeah, I wanted to know what your definition of softness was, and why do you think it's important to embrace it? Mm-hmm.
I think I have two definitions. I think one definition of softness, I always say softness simply means being aware of yourself. And I always say, now I start to say soft like water, in a sense that water, one, it's not always soft. Sometimes it's a hurricane. Sometimes, you know, like it has the ability to drown. But on the other hand, we bathe babies in water and they're the most vulnerable in our community. And so what I mean by softness is self-awareness that says, hey, I need this from you. Or what you did, it hurt my feelings. Being able to be affected, like something that's soft is affected. And I think about a good pillow, a really good pillow, when you lay on it at night, it changes to like fit your body. But then when the pressure gets up, it goes back to full form. So a pillow is able to take something, feel it, but then go back to full form. So it's like, oh, you soft, you hurt my feelings. Yeah, you did hurt my feelings, but I know how to heal. I know how to bounce back because I'm soft. If I was hard and too strong, you would either hit me and fall off and none of us would grow. I would remain the exact same, or you would hit me so hard, I would shatter and I wouldn't be able to come back together. But because I'm soft, because I'm able to take a hit, I can go back to full form and say, yeah, I'm back and I'm ready to try again. Because that's what a soft thing does. Like, and to me, softness, it leaves room for true strength. I think sometimes what we confuse for strength is just straight up hardness. It's stubbornness. It's bitterness. But when I'm able to be soft and rest, when my family needs me strong, I could show up strong in a healthy way because I've taken time to be soft and vulnerable instead of me always being in survival mode. So now I'm attacking my husband. I'm attacking my sister because I'm too strong. But it's like, no, like soft like water. You know when to be a hurricane, but you know when to just be still water because you soft.
I love poets. I love poets. Y'all just take a really complex concept and make it into something that's so easy to identify. And we all have laid on a pillow. We've all navigated water. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I need a moment. Grace, you go.
Love that. No, I absolutely agree.
I can't even.
When I was... once again, doing my research, looking through the posts, looking and kind of just looking up emotional strength and mental strength and mental health and all of that stuff. The things that you're saying actually came up. It's this idea of being able to be like real resilience is marked by having the space to feel stuff and then recover from it. Mm-hmm. And then be the support for someone else. Like it's a combination of both of those things. Like, cause being one way too much is bad and being too hard is not good. You hit the nail on the head. I don't know what I can add to it other than like, I think it's really the vulnerability and honesty. That's my definition, but I didn't come up with the term softness. That's you. You're the dictionary writer. Yeah, it's just great. I think that we were also doing research and we were thinking about, I was thinking about like, what does it actually look like in a day to day? All right, so I'm sad. I come home and I saw this post by Jasmine Sims and she said, I need to be soft. Okay, I'm gonna try and be soft. What? I'm feeling sad. Maybe I should cry. No, I'm not gonna cry. You know, stuff like that. Or I'm gonna sit and do nothing while my wife takes care of me because she said that she would, right? No, I'm not gonna. It's really difficult to do all of those things, but I think sometimes you miss the benefit of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like one, being able to rest. There was that thing about crying, releasing chemicals or something. What was it?
Yep. When you cry and you're dealing like with heavy emotions, any type of stress, depression, anxiety, all of that stuff, you literally release actual stress hormones when you cry. Mm-hmm. Like there's a reason why sometimes after you cry, you feel better. Not only are you releasing stress hormones, but you're allowing good hormones like oxytocin, endorphins to be able to take place. And I think that relates to what you're saying. Like there's physiological proof that being soft actually brings you to an opportunity to be healed and happy and joyful. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, the science is proving it, people. I mean, just cry, let it out.
It's a physical thing. It's not just like, well, there is no isolation, you know, like, we're too intertwined for it just to be like, no. Like there are people literally in the hospital because they won't face their demons.
Boy.
Yeah.
And that is true. Even outside of mental health. Because honestly, a lot of studies say if you suppress your emotions, repress, try to remain strong, you're actually more likely to have higher bouts of depression, higher bouts of anxiety. Mm-hmm. You're going to experience like somatic symptoms, physiological symptoms, stomach ache, headaches, high blood pressure. I literally can think of many adults in my family who dealt with trauma. Unfortunately, they didn't have the tools to deal with it. But because they haven't dealt with it, now we're seeing so many different ailments that are going from generation to generation to generation. I'm like, why is high cholesterol hereditary? Why is diabetes hereditary? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a long history outside of just feelings, but there's a lot of trauma there that's been unresolved. So there's a lot of different things that we're not allowing ourselves to heal from as a result of this idea of being strong.
Mm. The last thing I'll say as we kind of close out our time, I'm also thinking back to just the faith aspect of it. I keep thinking of like how wild we must look to the Lord when we choose to continue trying to be strong, right? Like this all-powerful, omnipotent God is like, yo, I'm here. Like, I'm a wonderful counselor. I'm a mighty God. I'm an everlasting father. I am a prince of peace. Like, those are all my names. And I'm here for you. Like, I provided the Holy Spirit for you. I provided all of mm-hmm. Not even just talking about the communities that are potentially around us. I provided myself. You know what I mean? And we're still like, nah, God, I got it. I'm just going to keep pushing.
Cast your cares on me. I got them. They're right here, though.
Right.
I'll take those.
Yeah, but I wanted to just end with, there's a scripture in Psalm 46. It says, it's verse one. It says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble.
Always. Mm. Not sometimes, not never, not maybe. Always.
Yeah.
I just want
to. And not what you deem trouble. It's not that big of a deal, God. It's trouble.
Yeah.
I'm right here.
Lord.
Oh, it's just a little scratch. It's trouble. I'm right here.
Yep. Yep. See, and with that note, like what Ryan, else? I can't say anything else.
I have nothing to say.
I'm sick of you. I feel like I said this already. I don't know if I should ask the question again. Where can listeners find you online? But where can listeners find you online?
Everywhere. Everything is The Jasmine Sims. Website, TheJasmineSims.com. LinkedIn, The Jasmine Sims. Everything is the same.
Love that. Love that. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. We loved having you. And if you loved having Jasmine Sims on our podcast, please let us know. First, follow her on Instagram and all the places. And follow us at The Joe Project Podcast on Instagram. Anyway, thank you, Jasmine. Thank you, Valerie. Thank
oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, Jesus. We love you guys, and bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.